morning. Today is Thursday, a brisk one that it is. November the 8th, joining us this morning, Humboldt County DA Maggie Fleming.
Good morning, Brian.
You look a little bit more relaxed than last month.
Yes, I was very relieved to see the voters supported Measure O. That was tremendous, and we definitely need it to continue all the work we've done and staffing where we need it to be.
There was a significant, and I kind of fell in this camp also, a sense on the street that maybe we turned a corner, kind of, a little bit. But whatever, that there was some positive inertia.
Yes.
And I think a lot of the support was fear of losing that inertia and looking, not to denigrate the others, but to look like San Francisco.
Right.
Or Mendocino, or even Del Norte County now has got, as they're laying folks off and trying to keep the doors open.
Right.
We kind of seem to be, you guys seem to be doing something that is changing the tide a little bit in Humboldt County.
I think that's true. I also think the community has really rallied in response to some of the negatives we were seeing. We're getting a lot more community involvement. I know I've noticed it when we, I think I mentioned once before, I've been very disappointed to see how many of our cases have gone out to warrant and then sort of die on the shelf. And so we're trying really hard every couple of weeks to send out, have you seen this person, to get those people back to court and get those cases taken care of. And we immediately get a lot of people who immediately call in and say,
I know
where he is. And it's great because I really do think we're returning more to where we need to be with people being involved, neighbors watching out for neighbors, community involvement. You see it when you go out. There's a lot more neighborhood watch groups that are getting together and getting to know each other. And that's really, really important for our ability to improve everybody's sense of public safety.
How much has legalization either made it more challenging or less challenging this year?
I really don't think we've seen the effects as much as perhaps the public had hoped just yet. I know that we always talked about it was going to take years for us to see the effect. The biggest will be, obviously, if the feds take action, because...
Yeah, how's that for a wild card, huh?
Right. We still see the problem of people illegally growing it for the high value in other locations. Obviously, the market's dropped here, Colorado, Washington, but while that should have taken the criminal element out of growing marijuana, it hasn't, because of the fact that you can still transport it to other states and get a very significant price for it.
But there were a number of states that passed recreational on Tuesday.
There were
three
more,
or four.
But yes,
I mean,
yes,
it's
still not. Yeah, exactly. It's creeping. That's true.
But it doesn't matter until you can cross that 64th of an inch,
right?
At the state line, right? Has it reduced the amount of illegal grows, do you think, or?
I think it has.
It's kind of the sense.
Right. The numbers have gone down, in part because obviously people can grow it in a lot of other places throughout the state. I've always questioned, other than the smaller grows, why would you ever bother to be on a hilltop in Humboldt County, given our roads, given the difficulty of then, you've got to really move at a significant distance. So.
Doesn't seem logical.
No. So the goal that I, hoped would happen is that those who were going to be the larger growers were going to be moving to, basically I-5 locations.
Now, Sheriff Billy had a couple interesting. He said they're starting to dig. Remember the old basements?
Yes.
They would dig.
Yes.
That's starting to happen.
Wow.
Where so that it's not only a 12-month process,
yeah,
but you can't see it from the sky.
When I handled the marijuana cases for the county years ago, and that was interesting because I do remember we saw a number of those, and they reminded me almost of when you've gone into Napa, other places, wine tasting, those giant caves, because, there's the lights, and it's just kind of a surreal experience to...
Yeah, suspension of reality almost.
Yeah, you just think, wow, this is quite an endeavor.
And when you see one of the big trucks go by, like in one of the salt caves...
Yes.
Boy, do proportions go out of whack
right. Really
quickly.
That's right.
Oh. Well, it, you still think it'll take 4 or 5 years?
Yes, absolutely. I think we're moving, obviously in the right direction. I think The number of people who have complained about those who are not in the permit process has really helped address those problems, and hopefully that's affecting people who think they can stay outside of the legal process. And, you know, I know I've heard of real estate turnover, that the prices have gone down because those who moved in and made huge purchases have now said, wait, I can't make a profit doing this on this land, so I'm going to sell. So hopefully we'll be seeing more of that, more to a return of
normalcy.
Where we were. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. Do you think we'll ever get pre-80?
Maybe. You know, I mean,
I hold out hope too. I don't. I've had people call me all kinds of interesting names about my nativity.
Peter Pan, is that what they?
Yeah, Lost Cause is one that kind of seems to be a recurring theme. Yeah, okay. Well, let's strive for it, and if we don't quite get there, at least we're better off.
Right.
You know, you brought in a couple of those, why do we say that?
Right,
and
exactly.
Kind of
we started with those, and I just thought because these were sort of
go ahead
fit this week, I thought
oh,
of
good.
Fence mending. Sort of an obvious phrase, but you know where it came from?
Fence mending. Is it agricultural?
Close.
But no cigar.
So it was, obviously the meaning is what politicians do when they visit their electoral districts to explain an unpopular action. The term originated in 1879 when Ohio Senator John Sherman made a trip home that most people considered a political visit. Sherman insisted, however, that he was home only to repair
fences. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gee, it's gone back 150 years. Imagine that. What a shocker. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. So Maggie, with the challenges that are out there now, it seems like there's a lot of traction going on. At least we hear about it now. This arrest, that arrest, things go. Are you cautiously confident that something is going on? Either the bad guys are getting stupider or the good guys are getting smarter. That perhaps the apprehension rate of things is increasing?
I like the cautiously optimistic phrase because that's fitting. I think we are making a lot of positive changes. I think the expansion of the jail to help people as they transition out with mental health services, drug and alcohol treatment, is going to be a very major step for our community.
What are they breaking dirt or ground?
I don't know.
I heard something changed at the state, and it's now.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. I was hoping that was going to be in the next couple of years, but.
Years, okay. Not months.
No, not months.
Yeah.
No, we move on a very different time scale, those of us who rely on the state and feds to take action. I refer to it as glacial speed because you.
Measured in epochs.
You can't actually see it happening,
okay.
But eventually there's some change. But the real, and I know I've talked about this before on the show, but the real problem that I see is so many of the changes that the state has brought, not just with who is housed in our jail, meaning people who no longer go to prison, but more significantly, how people are earning credits. I just received another, voicemail from a concerned family. Because of Prop 57, when, you know, pre-Prop 57, when we would sit with victims and explain what was going to happen if we accepted, you know, these terms, these conditions, we were calculating the credits as they were at that time. But then through legislation and the governor taking action, all of that has changed. And literally now, people are getting even more than day-for-day credit. So, you know, when we would say to seven years, but on 7 years, he's going to get day-for-day credit, he'll be out in 3.5, you know, people would ponder and say, I think that's enough. I can accept that. I think that's appropriate. And now we're finding out that people are getting out in under 2. So it's an amazing process to watch because of the fact that we see it from the impact on victims. And that's something that's lost to the state legislators and to the governor. I really wish they could get these calls.
Don't they?
No. Well, I imagine every now and then they do. I imagine they do when something big happens in their community. But
not the drip.
Not
drip,
the steady, constant. the yeah. folks whose home got burglarized, the folks whose, you know, somebody got hurt.
I wonder if that would be a good option for the state DAs, is to have some kind of a repository and either forward those calls on or have those calls direct to that, and then every week send it either to the governor's office, the majority leader, whoever it is, and let them start to feel some of the passion and the personals that these folks are, I mean, they're
right.
Fair enough to talk to their local folks, but the state guys and gals are so insulated to start with that they probably think it's more of a whiny from the DAs rather than anything else. I mean, are there any plans for any new state prisons to expand capacity that this doesn't happen?
No.
So they're kind of deaf to this thing anyway.
Right. And I do, you know, I've watched some of the other DAs who obviously have more staff. So they have a public information officer, things like that. They're actually doing press releases on many of these cases and keeping them up on their website. And I've thought about that because it is a way to remind the public of, you know, here's what we believed at this moment in time. Here's what we were promised at this moment in time. And here's how that's changed. So it's just a good example of, you know, going back to the question of are we seeing changes? I think locally we've made a lot of positive changes. I think moving forward we're going to see even more. But I do think we have to be really aware and cautious with what takes place at the state level.
But it's kind of muting down the risk-reward factor.
It is. It's one of those issues, though, too, that we have a real steep learning curve. You know, so now, I mean, immediately after Prop 57, we changed how we started negotiating, because prior to that, and this is sort of a little bit getting into the weeds, but for people to understand, a lot of times you'll have a person in custody. Maybe you have some issues of proof. Maybe, you know, like I always say, maybe the best witness to the crime is their best buddy, who's another felon. So you're not sure if he's going to testify or not. And so they'll say, hey, he'll plead to it, but he wants the low term. He'll take it right now, but he wants the low term. And we say, well, we'll give him the low term, but then we also want him to admit his prior. And that way there we're increasing the years. Well, what happened with Prop 57 is they were looking at only the base term and then deciding whether or not that person was going to get released. So we now said, okay, we're going to go back. And for now, we're going to say, no, we're not going to take the low term. We went the midterm or the aggravated term, because we understand now that's how the Department of Corrections is looking at the credits and at the term. So it's a constant, if they're going to change the rules, we have to adjust how we handle those rules. And we work really hard at that. But like I say, we're still dealing with a lot of people who are being shocked at release dates based on the fact that at the time we negotiated that and discussed that, or they appeared at the sentencing hearing, they were told something else.
I would imagine that the community, if we were aware, would be a little bit more agitated than shocked.
Yes.
And, you know, not to develop a groundswell, but I would think some of that might help to turn the tide a little bit.
Right.
Not a wave, but just a tide.
Yeah.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Maggie Fleming, Humboldt County DA. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, American Ag Credit, Murphy's Markets, and Humboldt Termite and Pest Control. Maggie, were there lessons from Tuesday statewide? Did you see that there's a frustration? I know we've talked a little bit about San Francisco. The sad state that the city is now in because of what's been allowed to occur there. It's affecting tourism, it's affecting housing prices, it's affecting the culture that's there, as we've had it here also. With some of those that were elected at the county levels throughout the state, or at the state levels that you're familiar with, did you see any kind of an adjustment to that, or a pushback at all, or is everybody going skipping down the lane, not looking at either side of the problems?
You know, I didn't see so much of a change. And I should go back to right before the break, we were talking about the legislator and legislative body. And I want to say I've been very appreciative of our two. You know, if I call Jim Wood or Mike McGuire about an issue that's pending, they've always listened to me, appreciated, you know, the local input, and I'm sure they hear from the other DAs and perhaps sheriffs of the counties they represent. I think that's the biggest issue that we all have to remind ourselves, is that elected officials work for us. You should be very aware of where they stand when you're deciding if you're going to vote for them, but then you should also never ever hesitate to reach out to them. If there's something that you think could really impact your community, because it's so important. I would hate after the fact to have someone say, oh, I didn't know that, or I wouldn't have voted for that if I'd known that. And I think we all have to work a little harder at being informed when we're making these decisions.
But wouldn't you think that the state electeds would do the same? Become more informed before voting on things?
Yes.
That's kind of what I was...
Yes.
Getting at or hoping might have come from you, is that, yeah, there's been a couple of changes, and the folks that are running now or the people that are coming in are, you know them, and you have more confidence in them than perhaps the folks that they're replacing. Not so, huh?
Well, no, I would hope for that. One concern you see is, particularly at the state level, they really are focus more on the large populations. We don't get a lot of the state level candidates here.
But a lot of our issues are not just endemic and rural.
Exactly. There, I mean, we have a lot of issues that we share with urban areas. I mean, right before we were talking about, you know, sort of the opioid problem. That's a major problem in most cities. It's a major problem here.
As we're reflecting on this whole scenario, is it as bothersome to you as it is to me with the turnout that we experienced here in Humboldt County on Tuesday?
Yes.
More people voted in Arcata than voted in Eureka?
Countywide, I don't understand why it's so low. We have to do better.
It was a 37% or something
right.
like that.
Right.
And, yeah, it really stunned me when I saw what the totals were for Arcata versus the total voters in Eureka, and how some of the city representatives are representing such a small number of people. It really speaks to something. I don't know what it is, but it speaks to something. You know, maybe we need just to talk about things. I did love, however, Trinidad. I don't know if you saw the numbers for Trinidad.
They were high.
54 was the first, you know, three city council. It was 51, 50, 49 votes. Those were the top four. And that even though the turnout may have not have been the percentages that everybody would like, it really does speak to the one vote and how cool that is.
Well, it's interesting because years ago, the Ferndale mayoral race was decided by one vote. And I remember Carolyn Cernich said she was so pleased because when the candidate who lost by one vote was asked, you know, are you going to demand a recount? He said, no, if Carolyn did it, I'm sure it's right. I thought, well, that speaks a lot to the confidence they had in Carolyn, but also just what an amazing, you know, to have a race decided by one vote.
Yeah. Yeah, and unfortunately, I think we got a couple of those just because the turnout was so low instead of small populations. When you look at some of the different proposals that are out there at the state level, either through the Assembly and the Senate or through the electoral process, is there a better way? Do you see, you know, the labeling is always kind of curious, and who's supporting what is always curious, but the lack of the detail? You know, we dealt with 13, okay, that happened. But then some of the other, the 215, I think is probably, for me, it's one of the icons of how you screw it up.
Yeah.
Because nobody thought about the process and the actual implementation of this thing.
Right. I've always been really concerned about the labeling. I mean, how many times have you had a conversation with someone and they literally are saying, if I vote no, is that? You know, or is it if I vote yes? And that's scary, right? It should be really clear to people, here's what's going to happen with your vote.
Kind of like, here's what's going to happen.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. So you're going to start hiring up those positions now that you haven't been?
Yes, that's right. The ones I left vacant out of concern.
That was the million-dollar smile, gang.
Yeah.
Her whole face lit up on that one.
We, you know, Wednesday morning, my chief investigator came in and said, I can post. I said, put it up, because we did. We left one DA investigator position vacant since last summer when Gary Cooper retired, because I thought I'm not going to recruit someone if I can't promise them a job for a long time, because we do. We recruit, you know, basically senior people out of law enforcement agencies, and they give up seniority. Sometimes they have to move their family. We wouldn't want to do that if we weren't going to be able to know our funding was going to last.
With the constriction, I guess, of the marijuana industry in our area, there are a number of businesses that are feeling that crunch. Tax revenues are going to come down.
Yes.
So what level do you base on? If you had $10 last year, are you anticipating $8 next year or $5? What level are you expecting?
So they've sort of calculated each year. I mean, this is true across the board for our budget. And then Measure Z, and now moving forward, Measure O, is literally just a separate budget line item for us, where we have certain positions, and then we receive funding for our lengthy trials, expert witnesses, that sort of thing through that. So we project, I think it's going to hopefully stay fairly consistent. We don't, you know, the measure does not tax on groceries, it doesn't tax on prescriptions, it doesn't tax on those sorts of items, which I understand people have seen a big change. I know the co-op's been talking about that, but that isn't where the grocery part of it isn't where our taxes are coming for the public safety tax.
Right. But I see if vehicle sales are off,
exactly.
That's enough.
We could see it. Yeah.
So
we haven't seen it yet. So hopefully it's not going to.
Well, when's the last tax reporting quarter? Was it the first calendar year quarter? Has that been reported yet?
They projected, and they're on track for, I believe it's $12 million this year.
Okay. But I would suspect that there's going to be some set aside just.
Right. Oh, yes.
If there is a dip, there's no.
Right.
You're not going back into that same scenario.
Yes.
It is interesting that people felt that those funds would be blended or that the suit.
Yeah.
Which really speaks to the level of trust with the supervisors that the community has. If that was a reoccurring theme.
Right. Right.
Perhaps.
I know for us, we have separate units, and my org chart shows those separately funded positions, and it's there, so.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how things come around.
Yes.
What's the next biggie for you, other than Thanksgiving and Veterans Day? What are you looking at in the next 4 or 5 weeks?
We've got just a lot of major trials, reviewing a major case, trying to put together all that we need to do to sort of finish out the year. We have a number of really major trials that we need to get done by the end of the year.
Has this been the year of major trials?
No. I think 2 years was 2 years ago was the biggest major trials because we had such a huge backlog. The problem is we're starting to create with so many major trials starting, it does impact the shorter cases, the cases that are not as significant, and that's something we try really hard not to do.
So is that a staffing issue for you, or is it a staffing issue with judges?
It's the courts, that's right. We can only run so many trials at one time. In part, that when the governor appointed the most recent three judges, all of them came from the public defender's office, so that's difficult because a lot of them have conflicts with the cases that we're moving forward.
So maybe
right
it's
now.
Time to get somebody who's not from that.
Right.
Okay. We'll just kind of let that one slide on out. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Brian.
See everybody tomorrow.